Back into Sports Talk. You heard there mentioning the Odyssey app. The great thing about that, too, you could be inside the dome, obviously watching the game, but you could still hear Deuce and Haas, and as well as Jeff Nowak, on the Odyssey app.
It'd be like an instant replay for what your eyes are seeing.
There you go.
An audio replay?
An audio replay, yeah.
Yeah.
Of the play that just happened.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah, you might get a little confused if you try to do that. But that's what you are into. Go you do you.
We're back here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Want to get into some of our prime cuts for the show. The Training Camp Soundbank, brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American, mentioning linebacker Anfernee Origi, year two for him. Want to say, what's different for the linebacker that's different from last year?
Like I've been saying, my mental, just letting loose. Like I said, I just trust in God, just give all my worries to God. I feel like physically, I don't feel like there are many big physical changes I made from last year to this year. Like, I put on a few pounds, got stronger, got faster. I still worked this offseason, but I think the main focus for me this offseason was letting go mentally, just being able to just go out there and play football instead of being stuck in my own head. Like, if you see last year it was like I put so much pressure on myself. I'm like, dang, I got to make this play. I got to do this. I got to make the team. I got to do that. I got to do this. So then all that pressure just crushed me. So then this year I was like, all right, let me just – all that worry, let me just give it to God. Let me give it to God, and then that's what I'm doing. I feel lighter. I feel lighter on my feet. The game's moving slower. I feel like I know my playbook better as well. So I'm just out there, literally just playing ball instead of thinking.
Origi, Jeff, the linebacker out of Vanderbilt, year two for him. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. I think he'll be in action in this game as well. Just because I wouldn't say a spot is locked up, but he's got, I guess, maybe in pencil on there right now, waiting to be put in pen.
Yeah, when I talk about the roster spots that I think are still up for grabs, I look at him as a guy who should be on the roster. I don't think he has a ton left to prove. Obviously, he's a young player who always has something to prove.
Right.
But in terms of making this roster, I think you go into this game feeling like he's made it. You know, guys behind him, I think there's one roster spot that you're trying to figure out. But he's my fourth linebacker right now in a group of five. Now, beyond that, I'm not sure, but I do think his approach is what has kind of set him apart this year relative to last year. He was talking about how, he felt like he was getting worse every week, and his PFF scores were going down, and he didn't want to believe it. But he looked back and I was getting worse because I was kind of getting paralyzed by indecision in a lot of ways. He talked about, a lot of times we talk about young players and we talk about limiting mistakes and making fewer mistakes. And what I asked him about, and what I think is true for a lot of guys, is it's really not about making fewer mistakes. It's about playing freer and knowing that you're going to make mistakes, but understanding why those mistakes were made and not constantly be thinking about how you can avoid them. Play fast and fix mistakes as you go. Because you can get paralyzed trying not to make mistakes. If you're trying too hard and you're thinking too much about trying not to make mistakes, you're going to make different mistakes. Or you're going to play slow, and that's what was happening to him. DeMario had really strong words for him. He said, he's improved about as much as you can from year one to year two. And, he talked a bit about the mental health coach that he's been working with and the approach that he's been taking. And you can see it on the field. You can see he's always been this kind of supreme athlete. You look at him out there, and he's like, yeah, that's an NFL linebacker. Right. So what's been holding him back? And it's not physicality.
Right.
It's what's between the ears. So it sounds like, he feels like he's in a much better place. And you can see that on game day.
Cullen, what Jeff is talking about here, let's jump to cut four, where Origi's talking about, everybody wants to say, I'm going to move on after making a mistake. But it's not so easy when you're on the field. What really clicked for him to be able to do that?
I had a mental performance coach, Jana Genova, I think I said her name right. So we worked throughout this offseason. We had a lot of meetings just working on my limiting beliefs, trying to mitigate those focusing on my empowerment beliefs and trying to keep those in the forefront and getting a plan together for this training camp and this throughout the offseason to make sure my mental's right. So she's helped me tremendously. So just keeping my mind right and being able to go, I call it playing out my mind because I'm not thinking. So just going out there, be able to play out my mind and just go play ball.
Origi playing it out of his mind, saying.
Yeah, no, and you have to appreciate a young player who kind of understands that and can admit that about his own game and seeks some help in terms of maximizing that. So
Definitely appreciated how open he was talking about even just mental struggles, not just the physicality of the game.
Yeah, and a lot of times with these UDFAs, you don't know, you know, who's going to stick around, who's going to make an impact. So you don't hear from them as much in their rookie year as you might in year two. And he's a guy they kept around for a reason. Like, you really like his upside. He was a tackling machine at Vanderbilt. He can play all three linebacker spots. So, you know, he's a useful guy, and, you know, he's someone who you could expect to have a plus impact on special teams. So it makes sense. Because that's when you're talking about the fourth and fifth linebacker on a depth chart, a lot of times that's what it comes down to is, okay, can you go down the field and make a tackle on special teams? That's why Andrew Dowell was kept around for those years prior to his ACL injury. That's why they brought him back, right? Because you need guys who you trust to go out there and make a play. Especially with this new kickoff rule that I'm still not entirely sure what to expect from. We haven't seen a ton of long
returns yet. I haven't gotten
used
to it either, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be – I don't know if we've seen kind of the full form of – but I don't think people are necessarily showing some of the more
– Agreed, yeah.
Complex, you know, strategies they'll have.
They're just trying to get through the basics of it, too, in the preseason.
They're just trying to figure out how to block and how to make a tackle and not fumble it, right? You know, get the kicker to put it in the right spot. I'm curious to see how many different types of kickoffs there are, you know, like stuff like that. Because we've seen, you know, I was watching Blake the other day, and he kicked four in a row, and there were four like distinct kicks. Like one was higher, one was a line drive, one was kind of like a wobbler, like a knuckleball in the middle. Because you don't want to kick the guy the same kick every time. You want him to have to catch it at a standstill. Anyway, that's kind of off topic. But I like the linebacker room a lot. I like the defense a lot. Like, I think you look up and down this defense, and outside of the strong safety spot, I don't have many questions. You know, there's one defensive starter right now that I'm not sure about out of 11. And if you're in that position going into a season, you feel pretty good about where you are. I'm not worried about the pass rush. I'm not worried about the linebackers. I'm not worried about the corners. I'm not worried about the slot corner. I'm not worried about Tyron. I'm not worried about the free safety.
Well,
right?
The only thing I am worried about with the corners is just the health of Marshawn Lattimore and that hip flexor.
Sure, health is a question, and Kool-Aid is also dealing with a knee injury right now, so that might impact how many corners you carry into the regular season.
Why do we have so many? Oh, because of injuries.
Right, because you're not sure. I think the hope is that those guys are ready for week one, so you're not trying to fill those spots with some of these younger guys, Arico Payton, Shamar John Charles, Rajon Wright, Jovan Williams, but it's been how long since Marshawn's been on the field? How, you know, you'd like to be confident that he's going to be ready to go, but how can you say that right now?
I was going to say, do you recall on how far into camp it was that Marshawn got dinged?
It's like 4 or 5 days in. It was he did participate. He did get some work in, and he was there for mini camp, so you got part of it then. He doesn't need to learn defense, so that's not something that you're worried about. But it's a long time, and hips are kind of finicky.
And they don't lie.
yeah, you're right.
Getting to back to some of our orgy sound on cut two, you know, something that carried over now from the Sean Payton era is definitely do your job. Here's what Orgy had to say his mantra is.
Like, if I do my job, the plays going to come to me. That's what Hodges told me, during camp, all the plays I make in camp is from doing my job. So games, I try to make it no different. Just go out there and play ball. Just do my job.
You mentioned there, he said Hodges, actually, you know, linebackers coach Michael Hodges, who I think is one of those two that you look on this staff and you could see him ascending up the ranks to maybe D coordinator and even a head coach one day.
Yeah, what I'd like to see for him down the road is, play calling.
Right.
Right. You know, Joe Woods has been calling plays this preseason. He called plays in the defensive plays in the Cardinals game. He called them in the second half against the 49ers, and he'll be calling the plays again today. That's something that DA let Ryan Nielsen do later in his coaching tenure when he was the defensive line coach and assistant defensive coordinator. That's something that as you go down the road, like, that's one of the questions. You know, can you call a defense? Can you put an entire defense together? And that's what makes it difficult to ascend from one of those position coaches to a full-fledged defensive coordinator. But, no, I think that he's a guy that everyone in that defensive room loves.
Exactly, right.
And I love him because he's one of the loudest guys, the loudest coaches on the field. And, like, any time a linebacker makes a nice play, he, like, runs up and, like, just, yeah, go, Orgy, blah, 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 you know. So I never have to wonder who's making the tackle. He's always telling me because it can be tough to tell when you're standing on the sideline of a practice and you're like, I think that was that guy. And then I was like, oh, okay, Mike saw it. So that helps me make my own notes from the practice. But, no, he's a high-energy guy. He's been around for a while. I mean, it's not a coincidence that the Saints have a really good linebacker room every year. and you turn guys like Caden Ellis into big free agents. Even as Zach Bond, well, he had a rough first couple years, I think he really came on.
He got scooped up pretty quick in free agency.
Yeah, and in a scheme that fits his skill set more, I think, you know, he could have an impact. So, no, I think Hodges has done a really good job with these rooms.
And our last cut of Orji, he talked more about his mindset on this team.
I feel like I'm just relaxing more. Like, if you saw last year, like, I just got worse. Like, people supposed to get better throughout camp. You look at me last year, I just got worse. Like, OTAs, I was flying around doing my thing, training camp at the beginning. Oh, yeah, he's cool. And then it was just downhill. I just kept getting worse because, like, I just kept putting more pressure on myself. So it was just like, and it showed. Like, even my PFF score, whatever that is, someone told me it just kept getting lower and lower and lower. You watch the film, it's like, man, this guy has no clue what he's doing. So right now I'm just trying to be relaxed out there and just play ball. That's my main focus, not to put too much pressure on it being last preseason game or anything like that. Just it's not an opportunity to play ball. So I'm going to go out there and do that.
So they do care about what you write about. He mentioned there their PFF score. That's Pro Football Focus, for anyone that doesn't know, an analytics website that kind of breaks down players, games, all the time. And I know their values are often criticized, but overall, yeah. I really appreciate the info that you get from Pro Football Focus.
Well, I mean, most people do not have the time in the week to sit there and watch every single rep from every single player, right? That's what makes those valuable, because they are doing that. That's what they do. And so those scores at least give you a baseline of like who they thought had a good game versus who you watched in real time. And sometimes it can show you like, hey, this guy may have missed one play, and that's what we focused on because that's what they showed on the TV and that's what the replays they showed of this guy missing a tackle. But then if you look at the rest of the game, they were really solid. And that happens with offensive linemen all the time because you only see when they mess up, at least on the broadcast, right? You could have 99 good reps and then get beat clean on one, and the memory of that game for you will be that one mess up. So, you know, it's I don't think players typically stare at those scores and make a huge deal about them. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys go and you know, check those out occasionally. But DeMario Davis this week was funny because he was asked if he ever goes back and looks at his like pre-draft scouting report, and he was like, it's funny you should ask that. I actually have it saved on my phone. And he pulled it up and started reading off of it, and he actually agreed with it. Like in the end, like he used it as kind of motivation for where
he did give the guy credit. Whoever broke this down knows his stuff.
Like, yeah, I don't even know who this guy is, but he was spot on because I fixed a lot of these things and turned these into strengths, but these were weaknesses at the time. So that kind of analysis can be valuable, but I think if you get too bogged down in it, it can eat you up. So I, to a certain extent, I think you need to kind of tune it out and just listen to what your coaches are telling you. But to say they're not aware of it at all, that's definitely not true.
We're here on First Take, brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. Going to take a break. Be right back. Want to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Where you at? Who dat? You coming to this preseason finale today? Give us a shout here on WWL. Right back after this.